Have a seat, boys and girls. You want to come and sit on the floor at the front, and everybody else, if you'd like to grab a Bible and turn to page 133 in the church Bibles. Come and have a seat so you can see what's going on the board and else can see what's going on. Church Bibles, page 133. Let me just say a little prayer. Keep moving. Shuffle forward. Can you shuffle forward to his room? Shuffle forward, shuffle forward, shuffle forward. Keep shuffling. Keep shuffling. A bit more. Fantastic. Let me just pray. Let's all talk to God. Father God, thank you that you are faithful, you are strong, that you want to speak to our hearts now. I pray we'd hear you speak and be encouraged by you through your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me tell you, it was so exciting. Every time I had to make a special phone call to my mum and dad, I said, guess what? It's a boy. And then I said, guess what? Next time around, it's a girl. And then another girl. And then another girl. And guess who's in the car we're bringing home? It's another girl. Just there, Winnie, another girl, number 5. All those girls and boys. It was so exciting to tell my mum and dad on the phone all that was happening in my family. Because new life is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It is a gift from God. And that's what we see in our Bible passage today. We see new life, a brand new start. When people become followers of Jesus, they move from darkness to light, from death to life. They're born again, and a church is established in a place called Thessalonica. Do you know what? You can go there on holiday if you want to. It's called Thessaloniki. You can get cheap flights and a lovely package deal in Thessaloniki in modern-day Greece. It was in Macedonia, but it's a real place that was visited by the Apostle Paul and by Silas. Here they are. The Apostle Paul and Silas went to a place called Thessalonica. Now, I'm going to teach you, boys and girls, a little song to keep you with me. It's called Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. Are you ready? You don't have to join if you don't want to. Don't be embarrassed. Just for the kids, but you might feel a kid at heart, so you can join in. Okay, it goes like this. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. And again, Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. Fantastic. It was amazing. Paul and Silas, Paul the Apostle, was led by God to visit Europe. He had a vision, a dream at night. In chapter 16, it says they had a vision from the Lord where a man from Macedonia said, come, come to Europe, come to Macedonia. We need to hear about Jesus. Amazing, isn't it? Here we all are, grown-ups, voting whether to stay in or out, but God was leading them in. That was not a political comment or a steer. But God was leading them in because they needed to hear the good news about Jesus. And do you know what? Always, with new life, there is pain. And we're going to see that in this story from the Bible that really happened. With new life, with this new church, was pain and suffering. Let me tell you, I found childbirth very difficult. It was very painful. The way my wife squeezed my hand, frankly, it hurts. With new life comes pain. And for the church in Thessalonica, that was just the case. There was happiness, there was joy, but there was pain and there was suffering. You see, when the Apostle Paul arrived in Thessalonica, he did what he always did. He went to the synagogue. Can you see that in verse 1? They arrived there. They went to the synagogue because he wanted to start preaching there. And in the synagogue were Jews, Israelites, and God-fearing people. And as he preaches there for 3 Saturdays, 3 Sabbaths, new life comes. A new start comes. Look at verse 4. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. You see, when the gospel was preached by Paul, new life came and the church was started. Have a look at this. There were men, there were women, there were Greeks, there were Gentiles. A new church was started. Oh, I think that calls for a song. Here we go. Ready? Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba da ba da ba da ba da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. But how on earth did that happen? How did the new church start? You see, if you're an artist, you use one of these here. Let me just get down all my boys and girls. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here they come. Shh, listen. Be quiet. What does an artist use? Paintbrush, okay. What does a pop star use? Okay. What does a doctor use? A heart thingy. It's got a name. Anyone know what it's called? Stethoscope. Well done. Well, Paul the Apostle, this is what he used. He used the tool of his trade. He taught from the Bible. He taught from the Scriptures. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He taught from the Scriptures. Can we see that? He goes in, and what does he do? Verse 2, he went in, as it was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, argued with them from the Scriptures. Now, that would have been the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. But we have the whole of the Scriptures now, the Old and New Testament. And Paul preached the Word of God to them. Amazing. Paul preaches the Word of God, and he persuades, and he explains, and he argues, and he proclaims from the Word of God. Now, I wonder, what do you think of this book? It looks pretty powerless, doesn't it? Doesn't it look very different to any other books? Look at this pile of books I've got over here. This pile of books from my house. They all look pretty similar. One's a Bible, but it looks as useless as the rest, really. So there's one book I found very handy when I was a teacher. I couldn't spell to save my life. A dictionary. Here's another book in our house. The Great British Bake Off. Nice book for cakes. Here's another book, Chris Evans, Call the Midlife. Apparently midlife when you're 50, it gets very, very hard. Isn't it, Rob? Is that right? Apparently, I'm going to read that in a few years' time. Bit time to go there. And then there's the Bible. Actually, all these books look very, very similar. And people think that this book is just like the rest. But do you know what? This book that Paul preached is powerful. It is so powerful because when Paul preached it, people had new life. God by his Spirit came and took the word that was preached and gave new life and a new start. This is a powerful, powerful book. And it's turning the world upside down as we speak, and it's changing thousands of people's lives. It is so, so powerful. It's an extraordinary book. Do you know, when I go to parties, people say to me, oh, what do you do? And I sort of cough and I say, well, actually, I'm a vicar, because I always get similar responses. People either get very embarrassed and walk away, or they go, oh, would you like a crisp? Or another one they say is, what do you say every week? As if I go into a darkened room on a Friday with a cloth on my head thinking, what shall I preach this Sunday? What pearls of wisdom can I give? But actually I said, no, it's dead easy. It's because we've got the Bible, the Word of God, and it's so powerful, it's Spirit-filled, and it changes people's lives. And that's what I do, I just teach the Bible. And that is what Paul did. And as Paul taught the Bible, people's lives were changed. The powerful book was proclaimed by Paul. It is God's word. He speaks through it. It's written by lots and lots of different people. But it's breathed out by God, and it's got power to change people's lives. That's why in church we often say, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because we're saying this is God's word. He speaks. Read it and you'll hear him. Listen in. He wants to speak to us through his word. A new church is born through the preaching of the powerful book. But it's a powerful book about a powerful Savior. Did you spot that? When Paul was preaching, he spoke about the powerful Savior. Let me flip back to Acts chapter 17. Here we go. Let's find my place in the Bible. I lost it there, getting so excited, waving my Bible around in the air with Chris Evans. It was very exciting. Here we go. Chapter 17. What does he do in the synagogue? What does he do? Verse 3. Explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this is the Messiah, Jesus, who I am proclaiming. He preached from the powerful book about the powerful Savior. He showed how the Old Testament was always pointing forward to the coming of Jesus. It spoke time and time again about the Messiah, the King who would come. And Paul was saying, look, all that stuff was about Jesus. And all through the Old Testament, it spoke about Jesus coming and suffering and dying and rising again to rescue us for heaven, to save us through his death on the cross. The Old Testament whispers Jesus' name. It all points to Jesus. And that's what Paul was doing. What was he doing? He was from the scriptures arguing. He was proving. He was explaining. He was proclaiming that Jesus fulfills the scripture, that Jesus, the King, the Savior that we need. How fantastic, how wonderful. I bet he was exciting to listen to. He wasn't dull, he was full of life. There he was, arguing, proving, explaining, proclaiming. It was very, very exciting. He argued and proved from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. I wonder where he took them in the Bible. Maybe he took them to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, it spoke about the one who would come, the suffering servant, who was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our sins, the one on whom God placed all our sins. Or maybe he took them to another picture, the story of Jonah. It was like a picture of what Jesus would do. Buried in a whale for 3 days, as good as dead, and then thrown out to life, resurrected from the watery pit, and he goes off and preaches salvation. A powerful book about the powerful Savior. All of Scripture points to him. And as they heard about Jesus, their lives were changed. They trusted and followed Jesus as the King of their lives, and their lives were never the same. See, Jesus says himself, all scripture is about me, Luke 24. Jesus said that actually, just as the scripture said, I will die and rise again. That's exactly what happened. So Paul says, can you see it? Can you see it as you listen to me from the Bible? Jesus is the King God promised. It's him. Trust him. Follow him. Let him change your life forever and ever and ever. Fantastic. Wonderful. A powerful book about a powerful Savior. And a church is born. Keep you awake. Here we go. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, da 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 da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. Thank you. But as I said, with new life comes pain. You see, these new Christians, they began following Jesus, a new church was planted, but actually it was tough. As soon as they began to follow Jesus, they were given a hard time by other people. They were made to feel different and outsiders, and it was scary for them. Do you know, Jesus said himself in John 15 these words, that there's a cost to following Jesus. There's life to the full, but it's not going to be easy to follow him. He says, if the world hates you, don't forget it hated me first. John 15. And again he says, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you too. They'll give you a tough time too. The powerful book about the powerful Savior brings about a new church, but straight away they face new trouble. You see, the members of the synagogue did not like what had happened. They saw that Paul had become very, very popular, and they were jealous, verse 5. They were jealous of what happened. They were jealous that people had gone after Jesus, the Messiah, because they'd rejected Jesus. They were jealous. And do you know what they did? They tried to cause trouble. They got some of the bad guys from the town, from Thessalonica, the mob, to come and cause trouble. They said, come on, have a fight, have a riot, cause trouble. And they stirred up the crowd because they wanted to blame Paul and Silas. They wanted to blame the Christians for all the trouble. And they went to hunt for Paul and Silas. And they couldn't find them. So what did they do? They went and they found a new Christian, Jason. And they found some other believers. They trashed Jason's house. They dragged the Christians off in front of the authorities. It was very, very scary. How frightening. New life in Jesus, fantastic, a forever home in heaven, God as their friends, but straight away it got very, very tough. With new life comes pain, new trouble for these Christians, and they're falsely accused. Do you see what happens? It's extraordinary. two sort of half-truths are said. Verse 6, they're taken off before the authorities. And they say against the people, these men are turning the world upside down. Of course, that's true. The gospel does turn the world upside down. But actually, they were blaming them for the riot. It was a false accusation. It wasn't true. And then they said, these guys, they're going to turn against Caesar because they're saying that actually there's a new king called Jesus. Well, that's absolutely true. There is a king called Jesus who's ruling over their lives and it's made a big difference to them. But part of it will be that they'll still live good citizens, as good people in the town of Thessalonica. They accused them. They made lies about them. They dragged them away. It was really, really tough. And in the end, they paid bail and they were set free to go home. It was very, very hard. Falsely accused, falsely tried, just like Jesus. But for this new church who received new life, from the powerful book to the powerful Saviour, they face new troubles. And I wonder this morning whether any of us are finding it hard to follow Jesus. Maybe boys and girls, at school it's not always easy to follow Jesus. I know when I was at school it was really tough to be different. When I was at university, it felt odd to be different, to live the Christian life. And sometimes it'd be easier just to blend in and not live for Jesus. Because it will be tough. Maybe you at the moment are being overlooked at work or misunderstood because you follow Christ. Well, don't freak out thinking something's going wrong. Jesus said that's what would happen. That's what was going on. Paul knew it. He was escorted out of the city. Did you see what happened at the last bit of verse 10? It's extraordinary. Listen to this. That very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue and started all over again. Can you believe it? They did it all over again. They preached the gospel and they were going to face a tough time for that. And when they'd gone, what did Paul do? He wrote to this church in Thessaloniki. He wrote them two letters, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, letters written to encourage them to keep following Jesus, even though it's tough. Remind them that Jesus is going to come back and that to follow Christ meant they're on the winning side, even though it was really, really hard. How extraordinary. And this term in church, we're going to be studying that book, 1 Thessalonians, the church we've seen born today in Acts chapter 17. A church in Thessalonica, born out of the preaching of a powerful book about a powerful Saviour. I wonder, how much time do we give to reading the Bible as Christian families or as Christians or maybe exploring the Christian faith? Do you spend more time reading Maeve Binchy and John Grisham and Chris Evans than reading the Bible? It's much easier too, isn't it? But actually, we're going to follow the Lord Jesus. We're going to read his word because he's got power to change. Let's be challenged to do that as families and as Christians today if we know Christ. But maybe you're not even a Christian this morning. You want to know Jesus. Well, look, he's the powerful Savior who welcomes all, who died to give you life and forgiveness and friendship with God. And all you've got to do is ask him to come into your life and he will change it forever. And if you're facing trouble for following Jesus, if you're finding it hard to keep going, be encouraged. Jesus said it would be like that. One day it will end, but till then he will be faithful and will never let us go. Let's just finish off by getting this tune into your head so you can annoy your parents all day long and sing it to them. We'll sing it twice. Ready? Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is... And again, one more time. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Thessalonica, Thessalonica, a new church is born. Pata-pata, thank you very much. Let me just say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for this amazing story that really happened in a real place where a church was born. We pray you help us to learn lessons from it about this powerful book with a powerful Saviour and the new life he gives and the trouble that will come, but your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. Why don't you go and sit down? You've been amazing. Well done.